Thanks for joining us today on Soulful Conversations with Chas and Deb. One of my favorite parts of the day has always been conversations with my friend and spiritual teacher, Deb. In 10 years, we've never run out of things to talk about when it comes to matters of spirituality, recovery, the heart, soul, and ego. I always have the questions, and she always has the answers.
Good morning. This is Debbie, not Chas this morning. I'm going to be introducing, Chas is going to tell her story today. I told mine yesterday, and today is Chas's turn. I've only heard her tell, well, I've heard her story. Yeah, it's definitely a story of triumph. Her saying it out loud publicly, I've only heard her do it one time. So, yeah, I'm excited to hear it again. So, Chas, you want to share with the viewers a little bit about your life and how it was and how it is now?
Yeah, hi, good morning. We've swapped roles today. Yeah, so I have only told my story out loud, you know, publicly once. It's something that makes me really nervous. So I'm just going to push through that this morning and hopefully it will be helpful to someone. I'll start with my childhood. I grew up in a lot of dysfunction, a lot of chaos. There was a lot of addiction in my family, and today I can see a lot of mental health issues. I grew up mostly, my grandfather raised me probably from, I'd say third or fourth grade I moved in with him. My mom was battling her own demons at the time. My father was not present in my life at the time. So I think I felt alone and just scared most of my childhood. Those are the feelings that show up. Just a lot of fear, a lot of loneliness. I will say that I had a neighbor at the time. She was a kind of a shining light in my life. She kind of just let me be me. I think that was a hard thing for me to be, was just me. I worked so hard on being the good little girl, being what everybody else wanted me to be, I guess. I didn't know that's what I was doing at the time, but later on, I could see that, and that continued on throughout my life. But she was definitely an example of love for me. And my sister, too. My sister and I spent a lot of time together. We were very close, and I could be myself with her. So, but there was a lot of, I would say, brainwashing, just some conspiracy thinking, just some really twisted messages that I got that, again, I couldn't see it until later on. So there was some, just mental abuse. There was sexual abuse, which also carried with me throughout my life with men. So moving forward, I look back and I just see such a lost. I was like the definition of lost. I didn't know it, but I was just so lost. Like, I had no direction for my life, no tools of any sort. I just had no idea what I was doing in relationships, financially, anywhere. I was just like this lost puppy that just wanted somebody to save her. And those are the kind of people that I chose. I looked to men to save me, and probably to women too. And so I chose those people that probably wanted to try and save me. But then I ended, it always ended the same. I ended up, resenting the fact that I did that, resenting them. And I ended up being the runner. You know, I grew up with a lot of abandonment issues, and I ended up being that. Like, everything that I experienced in childhood, I ended up doing myself in one way or another. It led me down the path of addiction. I finally found something that numbed all that pain, which I didn't even know was there, honestly. I didn't know what I was trying so hard to cover up. These things I didn't find out until I got into recovery. I just had no idea what I was doing. I just knew that it made me feel better and like a different person. I just wanted to be anybody but me. I think that's the truth. I just wanted to be anybody but me. I didn't know why I was here. That was a constant voice that played for me. I just, you know, I constantly had those conversations with God. I just did not understand. I feel a little emotional. I just didn't understand why I was here. I just, it was so full of pain, so full of self-hatred and shame. I was just so ashamed. And then I went down the road of addiction, which created more shame. I did such shameful things when I went down that road. So I just added more self-hatred, more shame, more pain. And, you know, that went on for a while. I went to college. I dropped out, ended up getting alcohol poisoning. So they kicked me out unless I would do counseling, which no way. I was too prideful at the time. I didn't have a problem. I had a huge problem. So that continued on. And then I had my son, and I was still in the throes of addiction for the first few years of his life. But I'll never forget the night that I literally hit the floor, and I was just done. Like, I was done. Like, I just didn't care if I lived or died. That's where I was at. I just didn't care. And something needed to change. And no amount of anything could make me feel different. Like, I was just probably in just full-blown self-hatred of myself. I just couldn't even look in the mirror anymore. And, my son was laying in the bed next to me, and I don't know. The next day I got up, and that was the last night that I ever used. And I guess that was the start of my recovery journey. I went to meetings every single day. And I had met Debbie actually prior to that time, because there was a relapse in there for me before that. But a friend actually gave me Debbie's, her counseling card, which is how we met. And I called her, and, we started working over the phone, and then I would stay after meetings with her and just literally just pour out my soul. Like, I had no idea the amount of stuff that was in there. I just, like, so we, like, started right out of the gate, basically just doing my fourth step. And, I did just so much writing, and I would just write and then just read all these things to her. Like, I just had to get it out. There was just so much pain and shame, and I just needed to get it out. And eventually we started doing inner child work, which I fell in love with. I fell in love with inner child work because it was like finally things started making sense. It made sense why I did the things I did. I had no idea that I was afraid of abandonment. Not a clue. But that's a core issue of mine. I have been afraid of being abandoned, and so it made me do and act out things in some interesting ways, and I became the abandoner. I became the one that left. So, but it also showed me all kinds of things, my fear of love and intimacy, and yeah, I found all this old pain that I had no idea was in there. But looking back, it makes sense. I just shoved it all down, all of it. Things that I didn't even know had happened came out when we started doing the inner child work. And yeah, and the sexual abuse too with men, and why I just have chosen some toxic relationships, we'll say there. Just no idea how to navigate any kind of relationship with a man or a woman, really. So, yeah, inner child work, I became really passionate about. And then, I don't know, that just kind of led me onto the spiritual path, I would say, which I have just grown to love it. I mean, there's been challenging times, and it has been a challenge for me, I'm not gonna lie, to rewire these messages that have been in there since childhood, to get something better in there. There's just a lot of messages in there that I should not trust anything or anyone. Like, those messages have been pounded in there for so long that I've worked really, really, really hard to undo those, and to undo the messages of, you know, I don't deserve love, or I'm not lovable. Like, those are all my little girl. Like, and I've come a long way with it. Like, I've cleaned out a lot of shame, a lot of self-hatred. Like, I don't hate myself today. I don't. I look in the mirror some days, and, you know, I can just smile at myself and, you know, see a pretty reflection looking back at me. I can see that today. And I have found a lot of compassion for that little girl that, you know, went through those things, and some forgiveness too. Like, I don't know, when you understand why you act out the way you do and where it comes from, it does bring compassion. And for the, you know, all those people in my life that didn't know better. You don't know until you know. I came into recovery, I had no idea I didn't know. Like, I didn't know anything. I had to learn how to be a mom, a friend, a daughter, a granddaughter, a worker. Just like, I had to learn how to be like a human being. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. I had to learn all these things. And over time I have. Like, I am a responsible adult today. I can say I'm a good mom today. And I've come a long way with that one, because there's been a lot of guilt there. But I am a good mom. I'm a good friend today. I've done a lot of work, and I've grown to love this process. I think my favorite thing about it is just seeing the changes that can happen. And they do, if you really want them to. So, and it's fun to see it on other people too. It's really cool. And I don't know. I have a fascination with the mind. I have a real fascination with how the mind works, and ego, and just why we do the things we do. That feels really interesting to me. So that's why, you know, these podcasts and these conversations with Dev, like, they have fed my soul all these years. Like, I love those deep those deep conversations that you can't have with just anybody. So that's been fun. And finding out the things that do feed my soul. Like, I've had so much shame for being this introverted, shy girl, which is who I am. And when I look back, like, that's who I was as a little girl. But I felt shame for being that. I thought I had to put a smile on it and, you know, be this outgoing person, which I am not. I am not that person. I pretended to look that way, but it's exhausting for me. You know, I always need a long nap after those days. So just finding out the things that feed me, and that's quiet time. It's creativity. Like I said, those deep conversations about anything spiritual or recovery, you know, ego, anything like that. I love talking about that stuff. I can talk about that stuff all day. Nature. I love nature. I love, I guess just simple things. Just simple things that, and getting over the shame of that's me. Accepting that those things are me. And doesn't make me an old granny, because that's what my head has wanted to tell me. Like I'm this, like, grandma. But people have always told me that I have an old soul. So, I mean, I guess it makes sense. And just accepting those parts of myself. And realizing, and I'm working on this one lately, that, you know, nobody's coming to save me. Only I can save me. Really getting that one in there. And learning that I deserve love. And that I deserve to be seen. And, those are the things I'm working on right now. That, sometimes I want to fall back and grab the things that are familiar to me, but they're not healthy and they're not helpful. So that's been my journey. And I really did talk for that long. I was telling Debbie, like, I don't know if I can be on the floor and talk for 20 minutes, but hey, I did it. So
yes, you did. And I told you that 20 minutes goes fast.
Yeah. Yep. So I hope that my story will be helpful to somebody that can relate to parts of it.
Mm-hmm. You did good, Chess. You did good.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a wrap, I guess. Thanks for being here this morning.
Hope you've enjoyed this episode of Soulful Conversations with Chas and Deb. For anyone who's interested in exploring more wisdom, check out Deb's blog at debbiecruz.blogspot.com, and also one of her several recovery Facebook groups, Codependent No More, Support Group for Women, where you will find access to her other groups and also Zoom recovery meetings, where women get to connect directly and ask questions. Until next time!